Great. Good morning, everyone. Can you see, you can see me, I'm tall enough here. So today I will tell you about a project that we implemented in 10 countries to improve road safety in school zones called the Model School Zone Pilot Project. I have no relationships to disclose. How many of you have heard of Safe Kids Worldwide? Oh, wow. Okay, well, I'll keep the background brief, and then I'll put it into context as to how road traffic injuries are affecting children, and then I'll spend most of my time telling you about our project. So our mission is to keep all kids safe from preventable injuries. So we work under the umbrella of unintentional injury prevention. We know that unintentional injuries is the number one killer of kids in the U.S., and it takes the lives of 1 million children a year globally, and these injuries are completely preventable. Our research informs our programs, advocacy, and awareness activities. We have over 600 coalitions in the United States and a presence or partner organizations in over 25 countries. We categorize our work in four main areas: road, home, school, and play. And today I'll tell you about an initiative under our road programs that focuses on pedestrian safety. When we look at overall unintentional injury death rates for children 17 and under, we see that road traffic injuries accounts for the second leading cause. And then similarly, when we look at the overall global burden of disease, including unintentional and intentional, as well as infectious diseases, we see that still road traffic injuries account for the number one or number two leading cause for young people. 1,000 young people die a day on the roads globally. That's one every 90 seconds. So that means by the time I finish this presentation, 10 young people would have died. For younger children, oftentimes these injuries happen on the way, their walk to and from school. To address this growing epidemic, which has been growing for a long time, in 2000, Safe Kids partnered with FedEx to launch our Walk This Way pedestrian safety program. It started in the United States, but now is being implemented in 10 countries. We just launched our program in South Africa this year. And our program components address the four E's of injury prevention: engineering, education, enforcement, and evaluation. And our Model School Zone project was implemented in all 10 countries. We provide grants to each of the partners in these 10 countries, and sometimes we have special funding to do multi-country initiatives, and this is one of them. So it's been implemented in China, the United States, Mexico, Brazil, India, Thailand, Vietnam, Philippines, South Korea, and China. The goal is to create model school zones and to test whether the methodology that we use was effective in all resource settings. We implemented the project in a year and a half. We provided grants of $13,000 to these partner organizations, and these partner organizations are completely independent of Safe Kids Worldwide, and they have varying levels of experience in research and evaluation and data collection, so we provided them with assessment tools that they could adapt. We also provided them with a project guide that included resources on how to select a school, how to recruit stakeholders to join the initiative, also how to select interventions and assess risks. We implemented the project in three phases. Phase one was the assessment. What was the needs and the risks initially in terms of infrastructure, quality of infrastructure, quality of enforcement, knowledge, attitudes, behaviors. And we created an intervention plan that we implemented in phase two. In phase three, we evaluated whether the interventions actually were effective in addressing the needs that were identified in phase one. So I'll go through each phase, tell you a little bit about the steps and some of the findings. Phase one included school selection, stakeholder engagement, and the baseline assessment. We provided a criteria to our grantees in our project guide about how to select a school. We recommended that they select elementary and middle schools, that school enrollment included at least 500 children, that there were areas of improvement that they saw, And that there was buy-in and excitement from the school to conduct the project. And we wanted to ensure that no other projects had been implemented there as well. We were able to engage over 9,500 children through this project. A key piece of the project is the stakeholder engagement and getting that community mobilized to help us out with the project. So each grantee was required to create a working committee that included engineers, local leaders, teachers, parents, other partners, and nonprofits, and they helped us throughout each stage of the project. The baseline assessment included roadside observations looking at driver and pedestrian behavior, the quality of infrastructure and enforcement, and the parent and student surveys helped us understand knowledge, attitudes, and self-reported behaviors of parents and students. We used the roadside observations to create infrastructure improvement plans like the one that you see here for Mexico City. And the parent survey helped us understand the perceptions of safety of parents letting their child walk to and from school. So we asked questions such as, what is the distance to and from school? Do you let your child walk to school? If not, why? How comfortable are you letting your child walk to school? And you see one of the results from the response, and most felt uncomfortable letting their child walk to school. And the highest rated concern was the speed of vehicles around the school zone. Similarly, for student surveys, we also asked the mode of transport, how comfortable they were crossing the street or walking around their school and their homes, also whether they experienced any injuries while walking to and from school, and their comfort level while walking to and from school. We also asked about their road safety knowledge, the rules on the road, and unfortunately I don't have enough time to give you all of the results, but these are some of them. There was varying level of percentage of students who walked to and from school. In Brazil, nearly 100%, in Thailand less than 30%, and very few children reported that they always felt safe walking near their school. After collecting all of that data and doing that assessment, we created an intervention plan, and in phase two, we implemented these interventions. And these interventions fell under the category of education, engineering, and enforcement. So I'll give you some examples of that. For education, each grantee implemented in-school education for the kids, learning about safe road behavior and the road rules. We also conducted education for teachers, for parents, and community leaders. These are some examples of the modifications that we've made in terms of infrastructure. In Vietnam, we saw that a lot of kids were walking on the road near motor vehicles because there was an open drainage system that prevented them from accessing that dirt footpath. So we installed a pavement sidewalk as well as covered the drainage system. In Brazil, we saw that drivers weren't being very attentive to pedestrians, that there were high speeds, and that pedestrians were engaging in unsafe crossings. So we installed signage and a raised high visibility crosswalk. In South Korea, we saw that in the wintertime, the cars or the drivers were losing control as they were making certain turns, so we installed skid-proof pavement. In Florida, we saw that the pedestrians were engaging in unsafe crossing. So in order to promote that, we installed a high visibility crosswalk with the school mascot. Examples of enforcement in China, cars were being parked illegally on the side of the road near the school. So this compromised children being able to see the oncoming traffic, gauging the speed of cars and when it was safe to cross. Where we saw unsafe crossing behaviors, we also recruited crossing guards. And so then we, in phase three, and each of these phases were conducted in a six-month period. So in the evaluation phase, we evaluated whether these interventions were effective in addressing the needs that were identified. And we saw success, and we saw some outcome change. In Vietnam, for example, the the crosswalk use increased from 20 to nearly 60%. Sidewalk use, remember the picture of the before and after of the pavement and the covering of the drainage system. Before the intervention, less than 10%, after 85%. Driver behavior also changed. We saw that in China, for example, before the intervention, 69% of cars were driving over the speed limit. Afterwards, 30%. South Korea, similarly, before the intervention, 34 kilometers an hour. After the intervention, 18 kilometers an hour. We also distributed reflective jackets that we saw a high percentage of use. And the comfort level of parents also increased as a result of our interventions. Where data was available, we also saw some impact. In Vietnam, for example, we saw that the fatalities decreased by threefold. We can't take all of the credit for that, but we believe that we contributed to that reduction. The lessons learned, there were a lot of lessons learned, but here are the key points. We saw that this methodology was very useful in all resource levels, that no one had a very difficult time applying the methodology. We were able to secure a lot of community buy-in from partners, so we secured additional monetary resources as well as labor expertise. And in some communities like Brazil, Philippines, and Vietnam, the local government wanted to replicate this project, which showed how much it was valued in the communities. Future improvements, the evaluation tools was definitely one of our biggest challenges. We received some feedback that some tools were difficult to adapt and translate, so we've been simplifying that. Measuring long-term impact is always a challenge, especially in areas where the data is unavailable, so that's something that we continue to work towards. And eventually, we would love to map out the collisions and injuries so we can determine where the high-risk areas are and be more effective in evaluating our effectiveness. And for the long term, we would like to see more engagement from local authorities. We can put in $13,000, but that's never going to make all of the change, and we need the policymakers to put this into their plans and into their budget, because this is affecting their country and their citizens. So, thank you for your time.
That's great. I think now is a good time to have questions, so we'll do it that way. Thank you for staying within your time limit. So does anyone have any questions?
Thank you. That was an interesting presentation. I really
thank you.
Yes.
Yes, in some countries we did have difficulty making those changes in the six-month period. India, for example, it takes a very long time to get approval from authorities. In Vietnam, they have a very strong partnership with the local government, and they selected an area where it was easier to work with the government. They had, you know, existing partnerships, and $13,000 in Vietnam goes much further than in the U.S., where we were able to install some signage and a crosswalk. So, they, like I mentioned, they had a very strong partnership with the police and the government officials there, so they were able to select a location where they were collecting that data in the district. Yes, one school in each of these countries. Right. In this particular school, most walked, or they were dropped off by their parents in motorbikes. But we didn't see a high percentage of bicycle use there. The school is located alongside Highway 1, if you're familiar with Vietnam, the biggest highway in Vietnam. So riding a bicycle there would, I mean, walking around there is dangerous, but even riding a bicycle would be.
Do you have a question? Mm-hmm. So it's along the same lines of kind of a trade-off risk. So I noticed in Thailand we had a very few number of kids actually walking to school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, immediately I picture them on motorcycles. Did you see maybe that in improving the perception of safety in walking to school that mm-hmm. you might have gotten the kids off of motorcycles and walking to school, which might be safer? Did you see any of these trade-off risks? It's kind of along the same lines of maybe riding a bike may be a little more dangerous than walking to school.
Right. I think what would be helpful if I looked at the number of kids who walked before and the number of kids who walked afterwards. But I think the slide on how comfortable parents became letting their child walk to school would be a big incentive for kids then to walk to school. So I would assume as parents felt more comfortable, more kids would walk to school.
You know, I think we might have time at the end, so if something comes up, we can
discuss it later.